Praise the Lord, everybody. It's great to see everyone here tonight. And as we often say, our apologies for interrupting the fellowship. I love the sweet sounds of fellowship, the laughter that I hear before every service. And I'm thankful that you all are here. And we welcome our guests tonight. And we're looking forward to tonight's service. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. We're going to open with prayer. And as we do, we have another basket of prayer cloths. If some of you were here Sunday or not here Sunday and did not get one, we want to make those available. Sister Landry prepared 150 of these individual prayer cloths, and they were all taken except eight. So we passed out 142 prayer cloths this past Sunday, and I think that's pretty amazing. And we pray for all of our students. We pray that God would keep his hand on them. I understand that some of our students will be starting the P7 Bible study again at their particular campus. And I'd like for us to especially pray for them tonight. Somebody had the idea as we're passing out prayer cloths. I don't know how the school campus would feel about it, but if you're a P7 teacher here tonight and planning to do P7 at your class, maybe you could grab 8 or 10 of these before you leave tonight. And if there's students that are hungry for God, give them one. And if that goes okay without the school being resistant to that, we will certainly provide more. I understand that Greeley, along with Eli Tier, I believe, is going to be helping her, if I'm not mistaken. We have 50 of these cloths for her, prayer cloths for her to take to her P7. If that's not enough, we'll make some more. But I want to open the service tonight. These have been anointed with oil, and I would like for us to take a moment to pray over them, that they will, the presence of the Lord will go with them. We believe in this. It's biblical, anointing a cloth. It's Book of Acts. And we want all of our students to feel the presence of the Lord with them on campus. And most of our students all have one of these already. But if you didn't get one Sunday, we'll have these up here on the platform for you. And this bundle here will be, I understand, for Greeley to take with her. If we can take a moment tonight to open this service, I'd like for us to pray over these new prayer cloths. We have a basket, a whole bunch of these up here that Sister Landry made, and thank her very much for that. But let's pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will go with these, the presence of the Lord would go with these, that the kids that receive them, the students that receive them, they'll feel the presence of the Lord, that they'll feel some comfort, some security as they carry these in their backpack, that the Holy Ghost is with them. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's all join together. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for this amazing opportunity to equip our students with such a biblical method, such a biblical answer to those that we may not be able to get on campus, at least not yet, that your presence will go with this piece of cloth, that whoever receives it will feel that, will know that, that the presence of God will be with them every minute of every hour of every day, that they're on campus or wherever they go. I pray, God, that they will feel the care and the love of God in this very beautiful, beautiful idea of an anointed prayer cloth. Let the Spirit of the Lord go with them to help them scholastically, to keep them healthy, to keep them safe. I pray in Jesus' name that you would keep our students and bless these prayer cloths. Let them be anointed by the Holy Ghost. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Greeley, if you want to come ahead and take these. You're welcome. You're welcome so much. And then we'll place these right there. If you did not get one Sunday or if you need more, feel free to come after the service and pick them up and take them home with you, and certainly make sure they get to the person that you intend to give them to. We have one announcement tonight. Sunday, August the 25th, we would really appreciate being able to pick up a Move the Mission offering. Will be received on August the 25th on Sunday. So if you could come prepared, we'll have a tab set up on the computer on our website to receive that from you, and then we'll be sending that on to the district. And we're hoping to increase what we did last year. That's our goal, is to give a little bit more than we did the year before. So God bless you tonight. Wonderful service here Sunday. I'd like to remind all of you again, if you were here Sunday, we did not have preaching. Probably one of the most favorite Sundays of the year. I don't think that's necessarily true at Grace Church. I have commented to visiting speakers that we've had that mighty rush of the Holy Ghost during our worship set on Sunday morning. And it's like you folks have learned just how far to push it. And sometimes I'm up here saying, man, if they'll go a little bit more, we'll have service and won't have to preach today and save it, the message for another time, whatever. But you folks have learned how to gauge that pretty good. You have, whether you realize it or not. And but we had a wonderful service. But I wanted you to remember the gentleness and the kindness of the presence of God that was here Sunday. Somebody, two or three people actually commented that it appeared with our, especially our students around the front, that virtually every one of them was renewed in the Holy Ghost this past Sunday with the moving of a very gentle, kind presence of God. I had a message I wanted to preach Sunday, and Lord willing, we'll plan to present that this coming Sunday. I want to talk to you about the power of a harp. And so remember that when you come this coming Sunday. Do some praying, and let's see what God does this coming Sunday. If you'll remember Sunday morning when we were promoting Wednesday night service, I told you we had a treat for you here tonight. And I say that in all due respect. Very respectfully do I say that. We have a wonderful speaker here tonight, a wonderful person, and they're invisible. This wasn't planned, but they preferred to stay in their seat until it was their time to come and speak. We have absolutely fallen in love with EJ and Precious Moye and their three kids. Well, their youngest one, the jury's still out a little bit on that one, but I'm kidding. We love Abel, but an incredible family. Their impact here at Grace Church has been very noticeable with our youth group, but more specifically with the hyphen class. Doing an amazing job. They love Grace Church, and we love them dearly, and we're glad they're here. And I've asked Precious to come and speak tonight to teach our Bible study. Let's give her some love and appreciation as she comes to speak in Jesus' name.
Well, good evening. I want to thank you, Pastor Murphy, for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I want to thank Grace Church for just being who you are, being welcoming, nice, friendly, kind to my family and I during this season of transition. And, you know, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. We're so grateful to be here. You make it so easy to serve, so easy, you know, to get along and do what, you know, we're asked and called to do. So I want to thank Grace Church. You guys have it going on, and you should probably give yourselves a hand because it's very commendable, you know, how we've been made to feel at home here. So I thank God for that. I want to jump right on into the lesson, if you will. I feel like God gave me a message, and it hit me first. It hit me first as I was studying and reading and just getting my notes together. I felt like God said it's time for us to fix our perspective. Perspective is everything. We've been dealing with perspective a lot, even in our hyphen class. Just how we see things, it can determine our outlook. It can determine our outcome of things that we go through. And so I want to talk about worship by default. And it's dealing with the underlying perspective, how we see things. And I'm just a firm believer that everything that is written in the Word of God, it is written for us to learn something from. Every narrative, every story, you know, we hear a lot of stories since kindergarten and Sunday school. We hear all types of Bible stories, but I feel like there is something to grasp. There is something that God is trying to get us to understand from the scripture. So Romans 15 and 4, I'm just going to say this, and it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patient comfort of the scripture we might have hope." So everything that is written, every single scripture that we read, there is something that we can learn. And so today I want to talk about a very familiar chapter of the book of the Bible. I believe everybody probably have heard of it. We're going to talk about Job 1 and 1. Very first chapter, very first verse, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. The Bible doesn't say he was sinless, but the Bible says he was, that his heart was right with God. His perspective was right of God, right? The Bible goes on to say, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but the Bible, and he had 500 donkeys, and not on top of that, he had 10 beautiful children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, right? And the Bible says how Job, how he will wake up on this, because it may be that they have sinned against you. It may be that they have cursed you in their heart. And I this is not part of my notes, but I feel the Holy Ghost telling me that that's a beautiful, you know, prayer and devotion on behalf of your children. On your behalf of your children. The Bible doesn't say that his children were perfect, that they were serving God, you know, that they were doing right by God, but the Bible makes it. And I think that is something that we should all do today in this hour. Stand in the gap for your children. They may not be where they need to be right now, but I'm telling you, if you could continue to stand in the gap, God, and there was something that happened in the heavenlies before anything surfaced on earth. And that's still happening today. There's things going on in the heavenly. There's activity going on in the heavenly. And we don't change if we took into account that there's something going on up there that causes what goes on down here. So there was a scene that took place in heaven. The Bible says how the angels presented themselves before God. He's going back and forth seeing who he can accuse, because the Bible does say that he is the accuser of the brethren. The brethren means saints. That means those that are living for God, those that are striving to hang over your head. And here he is telling God, you know, God said, well, you're going back and forth to the earth, but did you consider my servant Job? And God just took some time to bless, but they're still striving. They're still obeying me. They're still praying. They're still fasting. They're still believing. They're still giving. Come on, God is still impressed. I start God and say, well, if you just let me afflict them a little bit, I will cause them to curse you. Started changing your perspective on things of God. You start looking at things like, oh, I might not need that. Church attendance might be optional. You know, I made prayer. You know, I can pray at home. You start changing your perspective on the things of God. You start losing a little enthusiasm, a little fire. And gradually, before you know it, you're backing up from the things of God. And now your heart is out of whack from going to church. Stop him from reading his word. I'll stop him. I'll stop him in his tracks. All I want to do is touch what you've given him. Because, see, he's not serving you for you. He's serving you for what you can do for him. The acres of land, the 401k, he's serving you for that. And so he says, okay, the Lord said unto Satan, this is not Job 1 and 20, but we know the story, how God says, okay, I'm going to let you touch him, but don't take his life. I'm going to let you afflict us. He said, I'm a Lord, that hedge of protection. I'm not going to remove it. I want you to know today, we're still here today because there's a hedge of protection you may not see afflicted. God allowed, nothing happens, saints of God, unless God allows. Nothing happens. I know he has a will, but I also believe God has a permissive will. There's things that he permits to happen. There's things that he allows, but he lowers that hedge of pretend, took away his servants. And then fire from heaven fell down on his camel and consumed the camel and consumed the servants. And then the Chaldeans took his donkeys. And then, not only that, so that's all his wealth, y'all. That's all his money, gone, zero. He went from like $5 million in the bank to zero. Hurricane came through, right? And it knocked the whole house down. And it fell on top of all 10 children. But all 10. The same children he sacrificed. The same children he stood in the gap for. The same children. God allowed the enemy to afflict Job. And so all of this news back to back is coming to him. I don't know if anybody. And so Job 1 and 20 through 21. This is Job's response. Watch this. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And he said, naked came I out my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has gave and the Lord has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. To trauma, to offense, what's your initial response? Because our initial response, it's often very telling. It's telling. Cry, yes. The shortest scripture in the Bible says Jesus wept. That means he had emotions. He was emotional. So emotional, he cried. So it's human nature. We're all human, right? I feel like it's a part of our genetic makeup to be emotional, to cry, to be frustrated, to be agitated, you know, to be overwhelmed, you know, all of those things. It's human. I know I'm hurting right now, but I still worship you. I know I'm hurting right now, but I still know you're in control. God, I'm devastated right now. Was worship. And that's what I want to focus on tonight is our default response. Let it be worship. Let it be worship. God is looking for, even the scripture says he's looking for the true worshipers. The ones who will worship him in spite of what they're going through. That's a true worshiper. The hour is now for the bonds. I know some people may already have this all together. We kudos to you. But most of us, we need to make sure our perspective's active. Grasp heaven's perspective. What do you think heaven sees? It's not what we see. Their vantage point is totally different from our vantage thing. The trial that he was going through because God was trying to prove a point to Satan, who was accusing him of not having any integrity. Just for who he is. We got to have something, some type of substance to understand how blessed we are, right? So heaven was confident in Job's faith. He was confident in Job's integrity, right? God himself was confident in a man, right? His creation. He was confident in his creation. And that was the whole reason, 8:14, that the spirit of man will sustain his infirmities. But a weary spirit or a wounded spirit, who can bear? And all that means is we have our human spirit the way God wired us, right? He wired us to be able to take a lick and keep going. That's the, whoo. Also, did you know, I know a few Sundays ago, they showed the picture of the angel, you know, and it was a sight to see. It was a sight to see. We were all marveling. But did you know that the angels are marveling at you? We're astonished at them. Angels desire to look into. The angels desire, they yearn for, they long for, they'll do anything to look into what? The Holy Ghost, which is on the inside of you. They're looking down. The angels are astonished at us. I hope somebody's getting this. This is heaven's perspective. Meanwhile, we down here like, oh, I don't know what to do. And the angels are like, if we can just have that. If I could just feel the Holy Ghost, they got power. You know, the greatest gift to mankind, they have it on the inside of them, and they're able to overcome anything. They're more than conquerors. The heaven is looking, and they're seeing this. This is heaven's perspective. And then there's an expected end, that God is, he's expecting this. Get through it. Amen. Number two is evaluate your comforters. If you read Job chapter 4 through 17, you'll read about his three friends, right? They were supposed to be his comforters, right? And I know it's of him. That's who he looked to comfort him. They were supposed to be men of wisdom, but what they symbolized was worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom. And I think it really, we really got to pause and pay attention. What is our go-to? What are we going to comfort us? Who are we going to count? Where, you got to evaluate your comforters, because it matters. It matters who's comforting you. It matters what voice is speaking into your life. I tell this to the hyphen all the time. It matters who you're connected to. It matters. Be full of wisdom, but we know it was worldly and carnality, carnal wisdom, right? Because the world thinks cause and effect, cause and effect. Job, you had to do something to be going through something like this. God doesn't just let things happen. You earn this. You know, this is God getting his lick back. He had to suffer before he got to glory, right? So it's a pattern. It's a pattern. You know, a lot of theologians may say that Job, his story and a lot of the aspects, different, something powerful.